Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this fifth Sunday of Lent. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will read the Gospel from St. John and hear and discuss the Word of Life for April. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The site for your next religious retreat, business meeting, or educational field trip could just be the Spirit Center at Bluntzer. It's close, but remote. It's quiet, yet lively when necessary. And now it has a brand new interactive website, BluntzerSpiritCenter.org. The goal is to provide visitors and donors an easier way to learn about the Spirit Center Youth Retreat Facility. You can book a retreat or gathering and soon after discover how you can disconnect from the distractions of the world and reconnect with God at the Spirit Center. To book an event, call 361-816-6567 or, as we say, visit BluntzerSpiritCenter.org. Why not do it now while you're thinking about it? BluntzerSpiritCenter.org. You'll like what you see.
Catholic Charities of Corpus Christi invites you, your family, school, parish, and community to join in the annual 40 Cans for Lent food drive continuing to Easter Sunday, April 17th. The donated food items will benefit food pantries at Catholic Charities in Corpus Christi and in Flower Bluff, along with Holy Family Parish, St. Gertrude Parish in Kingsville, Sacred Heart Parish in Mathis, Sacred Heart Parish in Sinton, and the Mother Teresa Shelter. Acceptable donations include canned goods, dry goods, and other non-perishable items, as well as monetary donations. Since many needy people suffer with chronic diseases, please consider donating healthy alternatives such as low-fat, low-sugar, low-sodium, and other diabetic-friendly items. For additional information, call 361-884-0651. Also, visit catholiccharities-cc.org.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good.
You know, it's hard to believe that this is the last Sunday before we start Holy Week next week with Palm Sunday.
Yes, we're right up to that point in our liturgical year. It's a beautiful time of year to do that.
Yeah, it really is. Well, as I mentioned in the beginning, our gospel this morning is from St. John, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" And she replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, before we start talking about this gospel, I think you wanted to say a few words.
So as we all know, that the continued tension is raging in Ukraine and with Russia, from the invasion of Russia into that beautiful country, and the war that has ensued, but mainly the lives of so many people that have been destroyed, so many elderly people in trouble and difficulty, young people losing parents and friends, families being broken up, and just general destruction and people's lives. So I would say, brothers and sisters, let us not be comfortable in our own lifestyle and forgetting the people of across the world, but especially now in Ukraine, who are hurting so badly. So let us remember to pray for them and for all who are affected by the ravages of war.
Thank you, Bishop. So our gospel this morning, once again, it's just one account of the deep compassion that Jesus has for sinners. So it's a beautiful story this morning.
Yes, with this particular gospel, I think we need to look at kind of what was happening, because this didn't just happen out of the blue. When the gospel, this eighth chapter of St. John's gospel begins, Jesus went to Mount Olives. And we have to ask ourselves the question, what happened at Mount Olives? Usually when Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, when he was there, he was pulling away into prayer. Those of us who may have been to the Holy Land, we know that it's across the valley. It's up on a little hill there, and it was a place of prayer for Jesus. So obviously, he was spent some time there in prayer. So he was not so much preparing himself for this moment, but maybe for the day, for everything, but to be in union with his Father. So that's first thing I think we need to notice with this. He was in prayer first. And then we see that he went to the temple area, which again was across the valley, so it was a bit of a walk. And people started gathering around him. And again, St. John says he sat down. Whenever Jesus, or any in the Old Testament too, were sitting down, it was a position of teaching. So they came to him not to be cured of something, but to understand and to be taught. So he sat down and he was teaching. So he was praying, and then he was teaching. Then the scribes come and bring in this woman who was caught in adultery, and referring to the law of Moses that anyone caught in adultery should be stoned. And then the test, what do you say? You tell us. And Jesus, because I think, again, of his recollection, his union with the Father through prayer, and the fact that he was teaching, I'm sure, on some of these very issues of forgiveness and that he probably had a moment of wisdom to just kneel down and write in the sand. Some say he was writing down the sins of the Pharisees. Mm-hmm. Others say it was just kind of
like doodling.
A doodling that would just kind of give him time to think and to say, how do I respond to this? Whichever one, he arises with great wisdom, and he says, whoever has no sin, throw the first stone. I give you permission to throw the stone. They all dropped their stones and walked away. And then Jesus again turned to the woman and asked her where they went, and she said, no one has thrown a stone. And he said, neither do I condemn you. So in a certain sense, answering the question of the scribes and the Pharisees, what do you say? I do not condemn you, but go and sin no more. So it's not a disjointed gospel in the sense of prayer and then teaching and then being challenged and then having to be put on the spot and then responding. It's one, to me, it's one motion of the Son of God, our Savior, staying in union with the Father. He said, I did not come to do my will, but the will of the Father. So at all times in his life, he was in the will of what God wanted. So what he does with the woman and the way he treats her and the Pharisees was expression of God the Father. We know the beautiful story of the prodigal son and the way that the father treated him when he returned, which are the readings for the A cycle for the fourth Sunday of Lent, but that immense ability to embrace people and forgive them, not to confirm or to agree with the sin, but to see that that great mercy and love and compassion can convert the sinner. And so we can certainly say in this moment that the woman felt loved. She felt that she was forgiven. She felt that she was a part of Jesus's life. She felt her dignity restored. Mm-hmm. And that in this situation, we don't know her future after this moment, but certainly was enough incentive to not sin again. It was a conversion. Anytime in the Gospels that someone meets Jesus sincerely at this level, there's a conversion that goes on and a change. And that's our call to bring it back to ourselves, because the Gospels are always meant for us. One of the things I was going to say earlier is that when Jesus was teaching, there's no better teaching moment than an example. So here is not just theoretical teaching, but an example of a person in a very difficult moment in her life, difficulty of being accused and almost condemned, almost killed. And yet Jesus uses this moment with her to show compassion, to show the power of mercy, the power of compassion, the power of accompanying people in life. And with that gentleness of his, he was able to turn her life around so that she would leave restored in her dignity. So it's for us, it truly means, you know, encountering Jesus in his word, encountering Jesus in the Eucharist, encountering Jesus in prayer is a restorative moment for us. So it's a great, great moment to look at and to apply in our own life with our own sins, to know that Jesus does not want to throw stones at us, but he wants us to change and to come to a new life.
And for me, as I was reading this gospel, and you're talking about a conversion, it's looking at ourselves. We shouldn't condemn or judge others until we've looked at our lives too. That old saying, the pot calling the kettle black.
Right.
Yeah. Let's not throw stones at others. Let's look at ourselves.
Yeah, and that's always the problem in many of these cases, is that in their case, you know, to be blinded by the law. Well, I've done this, I've done all these things, I've done right in life, I've followed all the rules, but where's your heart? And I think that's what Jesus is saying to them, and certainly is saying to us. You know, you can follow all the rules, you can know all the theology, you can know all the answers, but where's your heart?
Mm-hmm.
Your heart toward God and your heart toward your fellow neighbor that may be in a more difficult position, situation than you are or than I am, and how do we treat them in a spirit of condemnation, of judgment, or do we embrace them with our heart and understand the mistake that they made, the error that they made, or that the way that they're living, and to know that it's only mercy and compassion that will change them.
Mm-hmm.
Not condemnation, mm-hmm. and not judgment. Those have no effect on the conversion of a person. So it's a call for us, especially during Lent, to mm-hmm. convert ourselves, look at ourselves, as you said, first, and then to embrace those people that are hurting, embrace and be merciful and kind and loving toward those who are in difficult situations.
Mm-hmm. And you said wonderful thing for Lent, but Lent's going to be over in a couple weeks, and
the rest
continue
of our
this
lives.
Continue this after.
This is not a temporary commitment that we have, and
right.
we're never done. We're never finished converting ourselves, but we're never finished also reaching out to those that are in need.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bishop. Again, another beautiful gospel for this Sunday. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and discuss the Word of Life for April. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
After a long hiatus due to the pandemic, The Ministry and Life Enrichment for Persons with Disabilities program is excited to announce that their weekly fun days are back. Individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities and their caregivers are encouraged to attend every Wednesday from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. at Catholic Charities, 615 Oliver Court. For more information, call Celia, 361-884-0651.
This message is for young men between ages 16 and 25 who might have had a thought or two that perhaps God was calling them to the priesthood. So guys, if this is you or a friend of yours, listen closely. Before any decisions are made, why not spend a weekend sampling seminary life at St. Joseph Seminary College in Covington, Louisiana? It's called a Come and See Weekend and is a unique opportunity to experience a taste of seminary life, getting to meet seminarians from all over the South. Included in your weekend are lots of fun activities, sports, great food, and even the opportunity to sit in or audit a seminary class. The dates are April 8th through 10th. For complete information, call Margie Rivera in the Diocese of Corpus Christi Office of Vocations at 361-882-6191.
Bishop Michael Mulvey invites the faithful of the Diocese of Corpus Christi and visitors to the area to a weekly prayer, fasting, and adoration each Wednesday in Corpus Christi Cathedral. The Holy Eucharist is exposed in Holy Hour and adoration begins at 6 p.m. Because of social distancing, seating is somewhat limited. For those unable to attend, Holy Hour and Adoration is live streamed via Cathedral and KLUX Facebook sites, along with the diocesecc.org/faithservices, YouTube, just search Diocese of Corpus Christi. Bishop Mulvey personally leads Holy Hour and Adoration the second Wednesday of each month. Again, all are invited to participate in the Holy Hour and Adoration each Wednesday, 6 p.m. in Corpus Christi Cathedral. Video presentations are a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, again, this being the first Sunday in April, we have another beautiful line from Scripture for our Word of Life in April, and it's by St. Mark.
Yes, it certainly is. You know, as we are living through the Easter season and the Pentecost time, we experience our own conversion, our own being embraced by God, but we're also realizing, we should realize with this one sentence of the gospel, that we have a mission, that life's not about just basking in the love of God for ourselves, but also bringing that and sharing that with others. So the gospel reading for this April of 2022 is from St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 15. Go into the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. In St. Mark's Gospel, the last words of the risen Jesus are found in the passage that refers to Jesus' post-resurrection appearance to the apostles. They're at table, as we often see them together with Jesus even before his passion and death. But this time the small community bears the signs of failure. There were only 11 of them instead of the 12 that Jesus had wanted with him. At the time of the crucifixion, some of his followers denied knowing him, while others fled. In this last decisive encounter, Jesus reprimands them for having hearts closed to the words of those who had borne witness to his resurrection. Yet at the same time, he confirms that they were chosen by him. Despite their frailty, once again, he entrusts them with the proclamation of the gospel, the good news he makes incarnate through his life and with his words. After this solemn discourse, the risen Jesus returns to the Father, but at the same time remains with his disciples, confirming all they say with remarkable signs. Go into the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. The community sent by Jesus to continue his mission was, therefore, not a group of people who were perfect. Instead, they were people called to be with him, to experience his presence and his patient, merciful love. Then, only by virtue of this experience, were they sent out to proclaim to every creature that God is close to them. The success of the mission certainly does not depend on personal abilities, but on the presence of the risen Jesus, who entrusts himself to his disciples and to the community of believers, in which the gospel grows by being put into practice and proclaimed, as explained by Vatican II in the document De Verbum. What we can do as Christians, therefore, is proclaim God's love with our lives and words. We can reach out to others with courage and generosity, and offer to everyone with sensitivity and respect the treasures of the risen Jesus that open our hearts to hope. Go into the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. It is a question of always bearing witness to Jesus and never to ourselves. Indeed, we are asked to deny ourselves, to diminish so that he might grow. We need to make space within ourselves for the power of the Spirit, who urges us to be builders of fraternity, as Kara Lubick wrote in a gospel commentary in June of 2003. Quote, I must follow the Holy Spirit, who every time I meet a brother or sister, makes me ready to make myself one with him or her, to serve them to perfection. It is the Spirit who gives me the strength to love them, if in some way they are enemies, and who enriches my heart with mercy to know how to forgive and to be able to understand their needs. The Holy Spirit makes me zealous in communicating the most beautiful things in my soul when it is the right time to do so. Jesus' love is revealed and shared with others through my love. With and through this love of God in our hearts, we can go far and share our own discovery with many other people, until the other person, deeply touched by the love of God in us, wants to become one with us, in a mutual exchange of help, ideals, projects, and feelings. Only then will we be able to share the Word of God, and it will be a gift in the reciprocity of love. Go into the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. To every creature is a perspective that makes us aware of our belonging to the great mosaic of creation. We are particularly sensitive nowadays, and young people are often at the forefront of this new direction within humanity. In gospel style, they confirm with deeds what they announce with words. Robert from New Zealand shared his experience on the web. An ongoing activity in our region supports the restoration of the port of Purita in the southern part of Wellington region of New Zealand. Our aim is to support this tribe in their desire to lead the restoration of the harbor, ensure that the waters flow clean, and allow shellfish harvesting and routine fishing without fear of pollution. These initiatives have been successful and have created a real community spirit. The challenge is to keep this from being a one-time event and instead maintain a long-term program that brings help, support, and really makes a difference on the ground.
You know, this month it was a very long Word of Life, but like all of them do, they bring it back at the end of what does this mean to us and what is an example of what this whole line of Scripture is. And I think that's perfect what it was talking about, the tribe and the Catholic community. Make sure that they're doing one thing, but not stop it there, just continuing it, because that's proclaiming the good news to everyone.
Yes, it's always a danger to think that the gospel is just meant for holy people and religious people and people, you know, that are good in a certain sense, but it's meant for everybody. And the gospel is creative. You know, at the beginning of time in the book of Genesis, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. It was by His word. His word is creative. So when we take the word of life and take that one sentence and live it out, it's creative. Mm-hmm. It creates things that we weren't expecting. So here's this these young people living the gospel, and all of a sudden they see that these people are trying to do something to restore the creation and the beauty of their own property, and they chip in and help. So to understand that God's word is creative, it creates. So it can create relationships, it can create forgiveness, it can create mercy, it can create many, many things in the most obscure places. So that's why we read this, and hopefully we take this up seriously and live it out in our daily life so that we can create the beauty of life that God gives us. So before we end, I want to give I promised yesterday or the other day to give a shout out to the men in white and the McConnell unit of Beeville, the prison there. We did the synodality process with them the other day, and they did a great job. And just want to let you guys know that I'm very proud of you and pray for you. And I know that you pray for me as well.
Oh, thank you. I know that they're very special to you. Thank you, Bishop. If you could close our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. By your help, we beseech you, Lord our God, may we walk eagerly in the same charity with which, out of love for the world, your Son handed himself over to death. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.